This is Joe Smith and Stephen Peake at in the Bella Center at COP15 in Copenhagen. And we've got a student asking a question here. Would holding meetings on climate change in, say, the Maldives or Bangladesh, rather than trendy chic watering holes in the Northern Hemisphere, bring about a greater sense of urgency and action by the world leaders? Stephen, are we at this moment in time in a trendy chic watering hole? Could you just give us a bit of a mind picture?
Copenhagen itself, of course, is a trendy chic watering hole, but the actual bit of the outskirts of Copenhagen we're in is a vast trade centre, the Bella Centre, and we're in the main atrium. You can hear a lot of background noise, and it's like some kind of very large shopping centre or moon station, international moon station, with very busy people. There's a few cafes and there's a little bit of places to eat and drink, but I wouldn't describe it as a bar. In fact, it's just a dirty, great big trade centre, not very salubrious at all, really. So no one's really sort of living it up right now in here.
But actually, there are a couple of points of fact to point out about how the COPs work. Stephen, you worked in the UN for a few years.
Yeah.
Can you give us a couple of pub facts about the conferences?
Well, the conferences don't take place in the same region of the world each year. They rotate, and it's up to different continents to host the conferences in a rota. So this year, it just happens to be back in Europe, but it could be in South America. It will be in South America, Central America, and Mexico next year. And they've just found somebody to host COP17 in the year after, although I haven't read who it is yet. And so it goes around the world. It was in Bali last time. I mean, the question was, would holding it on a small island state give people more of a sense of empathy with the situation? And my experience of these international meetings is that it wouldn't. I think the more comfortable you make delegates, the more interesting the environment, the more they drift off, their mind drifts off. I mean, this is precisely the kind of place you really want to put people and lock them up in some sort of mind kettle and get them to work out and agree. You do not want them to be surrounded by palm trees and having late nights in the evening. So this is a good place for this moment, actually. Don't you think, Joe?
Yeah, well, it's also a good place for us personally, it has to be said, in that it did enable us to come by train and boat. And that was rather a treat. I mean, apart from the fact that within about 3 minutes of walking up the gangplank, we were surrounded by climate scientists, priests, economists, pretty well anyone with a stake in the topic. You couldn't move for another climate change conversation. So it's been incredibly stimulating.
And Copenhagen is a city, of course, a major city with an airport and connected to various areas. I mean, the thing about organising international meetings is that you should have it in wherever it is in the world. You really should have it in a major transportation hub. That will save emissions. That's good. But having it in some small island state, you're going to have a lot of emissions at the end of your journey when you've gone to the main airport and you've got to take a small plane out. So citing conferences like this in remote locations, you know, can double emissions compared to, you know, putting in Chicago or somewhere like that. So, but I don't think that was the question, actually. The question wasn't about, you know, is there a better way to save carbon? Because I don't think there is. I think wherever you put it on the earth, you're gonna have about 10,000 tons of emissions associated with the COP.
There is the
Sprat to catch a mackerel.
There is the Sprat to catch a mackerel saying about, you know, these emissions are justified. My emissions are justified. Your emissions are justified because actually we've got to move this conversation forward. Actually, if you do want a meeting with more than 100 world leaders present and you want civil society to feel like they're participating, then you should expect a few people to get on an aeroplane. I don't feel too badly about that. I think sitting behind the question is a sense that actually people shouldn't be seen to be having a good time while they're doing it. Fair dues, but there's a nice piece by, I think, the American journalist Andy Revkin, who predicted half a dozen storylines that editors across the planet insist upon whenever there's a major UN environmental meeting. And the number one on the list is always a piece on the menu, the world leaders' menu. It will involve seafood, ideally an expensive one, and the editors will insist that journalists rush off and run a sarcastic piece about the food.
Is that the junket narrative?
That's the junket narrative, yeah.
No, but didn't the president of Maldives pull a stunt a few weeks ago, and he had his cabinet meeting underwater?
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking there's a place in the UK that could do that. Sandbanks down in off Poole Harbour is a very low. It is effectively our own little mini small island state off there, and I think the local authority in Sandbanks, really communicate its plight in the next few years, should have its meetings underwater. What do you think?
The parish council of Sandbanks, the endangered inhabitants of Sandbanks, it is, I think, the most expensive real estate, certainly in Britain, presumably in Northern Europe. That
and I've heard, Joe, that, and I don't know if this is true, but I've heard it sounds right. There's a little bit of selling going on that island. All this climate stuff, all this is really actually being listened to. So Harry Redknapp and his friends, I don't know if he's still there, but the good folk of Sandbanks are beginning to think, gosh, half a metre, that's a very conservative estimate of what sea level rise will be by 2050.
So in fact we should rewrite question three. Would holding parish council meetings on climate change in, say, Sandbanks, rather than trendy, chic watering holes in the Department of Environment, bring about a greater sense of urgency and action by Britain's most comfortable residents?
I think it's time to get a drink, Joe. I've seen a trendy, chic bar over there.
Let's do it.